Perhaps you remember with me that it is Dr. Luke who has the most extensive story of the coming of Jesus into the world in that immediate sense. That all the gospel writers, of course, speak about his birth, but very economically, very briefly. It's Dr. Luke who gives us the insights and the memories that he gleaned from people. You know, Dr. Luke begins his gospel by saying that he writes it to Theophilus, a minor Roman ruler, to explain to him what these Christians believe and why they believe it and how they now act as Christians in the world. So Dr. Luke's gospel is not just telling the story to those who already know, it's telling the story to those who need to know. And so it becomes an extensive chapter because chapters and verses came later. But nonetheless, we can still say it's the longest beginning of any of the Gospels. There are 80 verses in the first chapter. And we get great insight from what he calls his investigation into the things surrounding Jesus' birth. And one of them is a story of Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, who were visited by an angel as well, and the promise of John the Baptist came to them. And then we get this morning the meeting of Mary, who carries in her the Son of God. And so the encounter now is what we'll start with at verse 39, and then we'll move to Mary's song that captures the depths of what it means that Dr. Luke tries to tell this Theophilus then, and you and me this morning, what Jesus is to be and who he is, this glorified Son of God. So we're beginning reading at verse 39 of chapter 1 of Luke. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth had heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who comes, or blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So that's Elizabeth's blessing and a sense of destiny for her and the child that Mary carried too. But here's Mary's song to catch the flavors of and the reflections these women had. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Now, gospel writers stylize and create their gospels long after the events, as you know. And a song of Mary like this is not just that's a contemplative reflection on what happened. Her poetry is in Old Testament revelation, as you know, that the quotations and the thoughts in her remarks are carefully crafted, like a New Testament psalm to speak about the coming of Jesus. That's Mary's song. But Dr. Luke, the writer, does something different with Elizabeth, because all the other gospel writers don't give you much sense of how anybody felt about anything. Not about feelings, but just events. But Dr. Luke does something very interesting. He has done this in the investigation. If you look at verse 3 of chapter 1 with me, this is what he says. Verse 3, chapter 1. With this in mind, says Dr. Luke, since I've myself carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decide to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus. So the point is that Dr. Luke took time to speak with Elizabeth and with Mary. And that's how he got some of these thoughts. From Mary came a wondrous psalm-like hymn to try to grasp the wide expanse of the coming of Jesus. But Elizabeth told Dr. Luke how she felt. An unusual addition to the gospel. And Elizabeth virtually says to Dr. Luke, why me? Why me? Now I know that if you look with me in verse 39, and in that little section at the end there was at verse 43 of chapter 1, the language in English says, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In the Greek language, this is a little more compact. The word favor is not in there. You have to borrow that from about, much earlier, where Elizabeth indeed says that when she hears of the angel coming to her and to Zechariah to say that a baby will be born. Then she speaks about, uses the word favor. The Lord has favored me. But in this verse 43, she just says, why me? Why am I with, why me? It's a more reflective, emotional kind of response from someone in the gospel. It isn't all that they understood quickly and right away, all the grand schemes of God right away. They had to live into that. And so we sense this morning that Elizabeth had feelings of quiet questioning. What's going on here? I think we do this. This is a deeper human expression. Why me? I think we know some of this. Why your grandchildren? Why does it happen to me that my or you name it. We've had folks with all kinds of news in this place. Sometimes it was very bad. Why me? Why the delays in immigration? And some of you know that stuff. Why the delays in how to be how to become normalized and naturalized in this country? Why me? Why is my legal stuff going so in such complex ways? Why me when things go wrong? Oh my, when death and disease comes round. In fact, this Christmas season will not be a joyful one for many folks sometimes because they're doing that. They're emoting. Why is this happening to me? We're used to that as humanity. It's that kind of question. And we don't always ask it about when things go well. Not quite the way Elizabeth does here. She is enthralled with what's going on here and says, why me? And Christians have an interesting way of responding sometimes. You know, people sometimes say, everything happens for a reason is an often a response to this thing. You know, everything happens for me. Well, that isn't always easy to discern. And it may not be reasonable what's happening to you. And you may not be able to find a reason. Sometimes our human predicaments and our problems are so complicated. Or we say, why me? Well, it'll be okay. God will have a way with me. That's a good response. That's a healing response. What this language does in Dr. Luke's investigative gospel is to tell us that people were deeply touched by what was happening. I mean, redemption history was unfolding here, and these two women must especially have sensed that, visited by angels, and they carry in their bodies. We men don't know quite what this is about, and so one of you should be almost up here saying, what's that like to carry human life inside of you? And then to add to the context of that, what's it like to have human life inside of you that's God foreordained to become the characters that bring us his eternal salvation? We can't grasp that. That isn't something easy. Luke chapter 1 allows us to try a little to think of what's really going on. How deep is this? How awesome is this? It's beyond words to describe it. And so Elizabeth says, why me? It's a very appropriate response. And it's wonderful to hear it in this gospel. It wasn't just a cut and dried thing, you know. We put up the Christmas decorations every year, the creche and everything else goes up, and another Christmas goes by with the details. This is God entering humanity. And Elizabeth senses something powerful is happening here. Something awesome. I mean, you know, that's how the story goes. She was too old to have children, she and Zechariah. And she joins so many others in Scripture that have questioned their place in God's timing and God's history. You think of Abraham and Sarah. There's a couple too old to have children. And in fact, Sarah laughed. Her questioning God was not saying, why me, that we have in Scripture, but it was, you really think so? It was laughter. It was a bit skeptical, if not cynical. So and people don't come into God's presence or into the presence of God coming to them. Doesn't come to them easily at all. You think of Moses, who encountered God and in so many ways. Moses, who had murdered a couple of Egyptians. Moses, who had run away. Moses, who had fascinating care for the Pharaoh. And Moses, who beats God in the burning bush. And Moses says, why do you choose me? I'm not much of a speaker. Maybe he had a speech impediment. Maybe he stuttered. Who knows? Why me, God? And down the list it goes. David, in his humility, too, asks. Or Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, why you choose me, God? I'd rather die than tell your story to people. So when you get passion like that in the Scriptures, you sit up and take notice. And here is Elizabeth saying, why me? Now, of course, the implication is, why have you favored me? But that's not what our text says. It says, why me? Why have you given this to me? Deeply personal. A picture of humanity in encountering God, and it's not so easy to accept or to understand. So here's the Advent intent for you today, for you and your doubts and your worries and your fears and your complex life situations with health concerns and troubles and whatever else. You too ought to ask today, why me? Ask it in this way. I get to hear about the gospel. I get to hear about the good news of our Lord. I am given the hope. I'm given the presence of the Son of God in my life. Why me? What will you answer? For Elizabeth, it was an overwhelming answer. The two babies had some sense of one another somehow. Who knows what that's about? But it made Mary write a terrific and wonderful, wonderful psalm. And it made Elizabeth feel deeply favored by God. Why you? Why me? Why us? Advent is about the coming of Jesus Christ into your life. Advent is about the presence of God in you and over you, controlling you, asking you to respond with faith and hope and action. Asking you today this ancient question from Elizabeth is to have you encounter God too, as much as Elizabeth. Think about it. In 2018, here we sit on the third Sunday of Advent, still with this powerful, wondrous story, and now all the more close to God's gift of the second coming of our Lord. Why you? That's the question, you know. Why you? And there aren't easy answers, you know. The Apostle Paul tried to say some of these things, and he says in Colossians, in chapter 2, he says, the wisdom, the wide and awesome wisdom and the knowledge of God, who can figure that out? And then there's this passage in Ephesians, and that one I'll read to you especially. That's from Ephesians 3, and it is so worthwhile reading today. Ephesians 3 at verse 17. If you're asking why me, why you ask that to yourself, why me? Well, this is the prayer of Paul long ago for you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all of God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And I think that Elizabeth had some of that going on. And we who sit there in one of God's churches several thousand years later, that same gift is ours this Advent. And God invites you to ask, why me? And ask it with the same kind of amazement as Elizabeth, if not more, because you know what God has accomplished. To go and to bring his gospel to billions throughout the world, to include all nations, races, and cultures, and to say, this is all for the Christian gospel, for the hope of the world. You're part of that. So this week, as you think about your life, ask me, why me? Why do I get to be in this knowledge of Jesus Christ? Why has this come to me? Well, you can talk about why, and we have some natural causes and reasons. You're born into a family. Perhaps some of you were Christians. Some of you were not. But you met someone who was a Christian who got you into the gospel. Or you found some people who were loved. There are all kinds of answers for the why. Why you encountered God. Why you became a Christian. That's a thankful story. But the deepest answer, of course, is why me? Why you? Why us? Because God has come in Christ to you. And he wants to hold you and keep you forever. And so when you go through life with all your why questions, why are things the way they are? And why is, what's the, all of why, what, when, how, all those questions, they are answered in Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to live like today as a result of Dr. Luke's insertion of how Elizabeth felt in the Gospel of Luke. Strange and wonderful addition. What will you answer all week long when you ask, why me? Will it be to say, to get negative and dreary and say, I don't deserve this, this is not good? Or will you say, because Christ has come, I am his daughter, I am his son, and I will with my words, my actions, my thoughts, and how I live all together, I will show that it is wondrous to belong to God, to have his glory in me, to have God touch me and encounter me in his great love is always to be celebrated, not just at Advent. May our Lord give you that kind of week. When you ask, why me? The answer will be, because you are deeply loved with a love beyond our imagination. Amen. Let us pray. You know us, God. We're more the kind of folks to say sometimes, why me, if things don't go well, and we get a little self-pitying or a little worrisome or crabby or doubtful. That we join humanity that way. We're not so unique. We have that too. But Lord God, this morning from this gospel, may we also stand amazed and be your people. And when we think about why us, Lord, why have you come to us? Why us? Why me? And then may the answer come forcefully from your Holy Spirit and lovingly from this Christ whose love we can't even imagine. It's too high, too deep, too wide, too long for us. Oh, God, help us to bring that into our lives all week long. Help us to ask, why me? And help us to respond with Christian love and prayer and action in response to say, you've come into our lives so that we may bring the gospel to others. Help us to be that kind of Christian this week, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.